when you get those kinds of things happening around you, take it as an assignment.
Right.
That you absolutely have a response. You really do. And it, maybe it's in the quiet of your living room or your office, but you do have a response. You do know what to do. So whether it's sickness or like a horrific test message you just heard, speak life to it. I mean,
right.
You have the authority to command life.
I have just an interesting testimony that happened to me this week. And like, it totally wasn't planned. It was totally like just Holy Spirit. And I'm working in my clinic, and it was kind of subdued, which is really unusual because it's pretty, you know, chaotic there sometimes. But it was just kind of subdued. And one of the personalities, she's a big personality and she's loud, but she tends to be negative. She tends to be, you know, kind of place of controversy. And she raises her voice and she says, "What is wrong with everybody? This is not good. What is wrong with everybody?" And it was just like this dampening. It just sat there for a minute, and I'm still working. And then I just raised my voice and I said, "There's nothing wrong with us. We're busy being awesome." And there was like a split second of silence, and then everybody just laughed and cracked up, and like it just went all throughout the whole thing. And I literally felt a shift from one to the other.
Sure.
And yeah, so that was really fun.
So, well, build on that. So we've been talking about really there's only two kingdoms. There's Paul in his teaching us. He says you can walk in the flesh and respond to this false identity and the lies about who you are, where we allow depression and hopelessness and brokenness to be our counselor, or we can walk in the Spirit, he says, and we agree with kingdom truth, right? Mm-hmm. So there really is only two responses, right? Don't be confused by it. There is only two. This one, I told you, the best way to describe this, living in this kingdom, walking in the Spirit, that activity is called faith. Okay? That's the life of walking in your identity, according to kingdom truth. Right? And the other one, the word we ascribe to it, is sin, which is really just a broken identity. You're acting out of a broken identity, listening to the wrong, a false truth. That's it, right? Faith versus sin. And we sort of ended on this thing. I told you, I said Jesus came to show us that. He came to demonstrate what it looked like to walk in the Spirit, to live in faith, right? And I said that there were two reasons why Jesus was able to release heaven on earth, right? And the first one I told you was that heaven was the reality he lived in. Heaven was the reality he lived in. This, the kingdom of heaven was what fully informed him. That was his perspective on life, totally. That's the first one. The second one was just like, I had just read a verse to you, and there's several like that when Jesus talks, and it's like the Father authorized him to do it. Mm-hmm. He said, "Don't do these things. Release this where you are." Mm-hmm. Right? Heaven's reality he lived in, and he was authorized to release it. The same is true of you. Right? Where Paul is instructing us that we learn to shift our mindset. We learn to renew our minds to this reality. And Jesus says, almost like I've handed you the baton in the race, and he said, "Now go do these things." Right? In each of the Gospels, we're given this assignment of walking that way. So we were in, I was reading this piece in Ephesians about what it looked like to this assignment about walking in faith. So I'm going to go back and pick that up. Let me read that text to you again in Ephesians 1, starting in verse 15. "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord," and what faith is, "faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Verse 17. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Verse 22, and God placed all things under his feet and anointed him, appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills in every way. We ended up when we last broke, before Lisa shared last week, that thought about wisdom and revelation, what I said, you know, there's the word of God. We can look at it, most people look at it like a set of rules, like a policy statement or principles, but devoid of the Holy Spirit mentoring in you into how that's applied, how that's used, what that means to you. It can look like a hammer, right? Or it can look like a very powerful force of what it looks like to walk in faith. So wisdom, the word of God plus the spirit of God is what, when Jesus uses the word truth, that's what he's talking about. Let the Holy Spirit inform you. But I want to pick up after that. Word plus spirit equals truth. So back to that first thing, when Paul says this to them, he says, I pray that your eyes of your heart would be enlightened in order that you would know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. First off, just a thought about enlightenment, because Paul is not saying to them, he's not praying that you would be enlightened so you could go, look at me.
I've arrived.
I've arrived. I get it. Many have done that, right? It's like he's not saying, look at how smart I am. Mm-hmm. Enlightenment here isn't a statement about how much I know, right? He says there's actually a very concrete purpose to what he's talking about here, the issue of revelation, because the key to, let's call it a kingdom worldview, what I talked about, how Jesus, I said Jesus was able to bring this reality, or this heaven on earth, because heaven was the reality he lived in, right? Mm-hmm. So this kingdom worldview, this heavenly revelation of this divine or eternal reality, right, is what Paul's talking about, that you would wake up to that understanding, right? And that understanding is built on some pillars here that Paul talks about. So I don't want you to jump past them too quick. He says that your eyes of your heart would be enlightened to that kingdom reality, the kingdom worldview. And he says it this way, that you would know, one, the hope to which he's called you. Two, this is verse 18, Ephesians 1:18. The hope, number one, he said you would have this enlightened, to know the hope he's called you. Two, the glorious riches of the inheritance in the saints.
Wow.
And three, the power for those who believe. Right? And all those realities, you might call them, those are like the pillars of this kingdom worldview, right? All of those realities, the enlightenment of that understanding, is purely the result of Christ revealing it to you, right? Jesus came to reveal those truths to you, right? And Paul knows this. The enemy, he knows how the enemy fights, right? This is, by the way, this is sort of what he's writing to the Ephesians, right? So this is, you might say, in fact, I was reading more on this church in Ephesus, and it's like, somebody said last time we were talking about the Ephesians about, maybe it was Angie, and they said, wow, Paul spent all this time with them, then he left, and now they're confused. Mm-hmm. Like they're still. Paul actually spent 3 years with them. And mm-hmm. you could actually say they were probably the most trained church.
Interesting.
In fact, Paul left Timothy, his prize student behind to hang out with them, right? So it's a, the enemy's a jerk because he's challenging this. And Paul, when he comes back to meet with the Ephesians, remember he told you when he came back and said, hey, what's going on here? Like, where's your power? I expected, right? It's like they forgot who they were, what they were saying. One of the things, so Paul knows what the enemy goes after. And the first thing, I told you, it's the, he says, the hope really of who you are. So he knows that the enemy's game plan is if I can cripple you and your identity, if I can get you to question or challenge who's God and who am I? If I can get you to question that issue of like the hope of your calling falls apart, because the hope of who you are is bookended by those two things. Wow. Who is God and who am I?
Right.
We saw that in the wilderness with the enemy tempting Jesus. When Satan comes to Jesus, he goes, it's like, you know, if you're the Son of God, he's questioning it, his identity in the Father. Right? So Paul says this, look, if we secure who you are in him, be secure in who you are. Who is God and who am I? Right? Invest in that. And one of the things he tells you to do is like, one, dismiss the lie that says anything about who you are. Jesus said, this is what's true about you. Anything that doesn't agree with that, dismiss it. You need to stand against it as a lie. That's not who he says I am. Right? And he says, and agree with what the word says about you. Right? Word plus spirit equals truth. Right? So, and the second thing he says is be aware of the riches, the richness of your inheritance. What's he saying? It's like you have this resource in heaven backing you up. I know who I am. I know who he is. And from that, now I'm plugging in. Think of it like an extension cord, you know, hooking into the power, into the generator, right? I know what's resourcing me, right? So there's this inheritance that he is, it's like the bank account of heaven's been opened to you. You can write checks against heaven's account, okay? And the third thing he says is be aware of the power that comes with that. And he says, the power for those who believe. He's like, you've been given assignment to change the world around you. You've been given assignment to command life, right? And he gave you a list of those things. In fact, so Paul is writing to this Ephesian church, and he's stirring them up. He's like, here's who you are. This is what's backing you up. And this is what you're assigned. Go do these things. Remember this in Luke? John is writing, and he says, John answered them all. He says, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Mm-hmm. Right? There is like this, there is this release. Boom! The power of heaven has been released to you. Right? He says this in Mark, and these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They'll speak in new tongues. They'll pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, they will not hurt them at all. They'll place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. Paul is praying to them that you would know these things. And then he concludes it with this, that you would know the incomparably great power for those who believe these things.
You know, one more thing about enlightenment.
Yeah.
Is that I believe the reason Paul's using that is because most of the time before we learn how to experience heaven, we're in the shadow. Mm-hmm. We're in the shadow. So when we learn how to step into that heavenly realm, then we begin to see those things that he's talking about. But prior to that, it's just a shadowy thing. Mm. What was it in Corinthians that says it's like we're in a mirror?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Seeing
right.
dimly. It's like we're getting a glimpse of who we really are in.
Right. And so I believe the enlightenment part is, so the more time we spend with him, quality time in the quiet place, in the intimate place, I believe that's the enlightenment thing. It's like the shadows start it gets thinner and thinner and thinner until we can actually begin to see what's going on in heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's, you know, in I'll fast forward to some thoughts. So in Ephesians, when Paul is talking to this church in Ephesus, it's not a letter that's correcting them, by the way. It's not like, oh, you guys have really messed up here. We see that in some of the other letters to the churches. He really is coming to encourage them, right? There's six chapters in Ephesians, and you know, you're very familiar, I bet, with the end of Ephesians, Ephesians 6, where it talks about the armor of God, right? So Paul is reminding them early on in the first three chapters of Ephesians, it's like, this is who you are. Let me remind you who you are. And we hear him talking about being reconciled to God. It's really, it's about like stepping in agreement with about what God says about you, right? Reconciling to God. It's like, this is who he is and this is who I am. And I'm agreeing with that. Then he goes in and he says, and by the way, this is who Darla is. And this is who Don is. This is who John is. This is who Willie is. It's like, so he says, and be reconciled to each other. In other words, it's recognize that the same Jesus fullness of in you is the same fullness that's in her and
right.
in him.
Right.
Right? So he's calling them to this place of like knowing you have an assignment. Here first me. Here's who he is inside of me, the
right.
fullness of him. Then he says, oh, and let me help you with that. Here's who you are. Right, so we've got this activity of being reconciled to him and reconciled to each other. And then he calls them, and so now I know who I am and what I'm called to. Then he says, now, together, with all of us knowing who we are, and he says, and this is the church. Right? Now, and then the last three chapters of Ephesians, now he says, and this is the fullness of the body, the church. Right? So he says, the church has some work to do. We have some good work to do, some powerful work to do. Right? And this, now go about it. Right? So it's an encouraging letter. Just, it's stirring them up. This is who you are. Right? Remember how we started this and that glimpse we got in Acts when Paul comes back and says, there should be more going on here, more powerful activity I should be seeing by the Holy Spirit. He's actually calling them into account for being filled with the Holy Spirit, letting the Holy Spirit mentor you, counsel you, instruct you into that thing of who you are. In Revelations, remember there's some things, and to the church of this I write, and to this, right?
Mm-hmm.
That John gets this revelation. One of those is in Revelation 2, I think it is, early on, it's right around there being too. One is to the church in Ephesus. Is it two? Are you looking around?
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
Look at the first part. Is it two? It's an early part of two. Then he says, the caution is this, you've forgotten your first love. Is that what it says?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
He says, you've forgotten your first love.
Yes.
He's really, what he's saying in Revelation is, right? It's like we wake up to this, that reckless love.
Yes.
Here's how much I love you. Here's how connected you are to me. Here's how powerful you are in me. This is what fullness looks like in me. And now you're questioning. The enemy comes in and starts chipping away at the hope of your calling, right?
Right.
And so he's reminding them in Revelation, like, don't be aware of the enemy's tactic. He's going to go after you there, right? So he's going to distract you, right? I love this. I love this letter in Ephesians. So let's finish up because he says, that you would be enlightened in these things. These are the pillars of this kingdom worldview, right? And the result of that agreement with that, with those realities, is this incomparably great power, right? Which is basically, this is what greatness looks like. This is what amazing looks like. And this is beyond that. Mm. It's something you can't get your head around.
Right.
You can't, this thought of, I can understand this, I can capture this, I can make sense of this, it's beyond that.
Right.
That's the language of incomparably great power. And he says that power that you can't get your head around is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand, his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in this present age, but in the one to come. So this, I can't get my head around this, what he has given to me, this authority is released to me. He's equating to the activity of the Jesus, of the resurrection of Christ back to the right hand of the Father. And he says, and that's where you sit. We won't get into that verse, right? But so here's how he ends this in this part of Ephesians 1. He says, God placed all things under his feet, and he appointed him to be head over everything for the church. Right?
Where is that?
This is verse 22. Who's the church? There's reconciled Darla, reconciled Dawn, reconciled Katie, right? Here's who I am. Here's powerful me. That's the church coming together. And he says, and I've appointed him to be head over everything for you guys. And he says, that's his body. That powerful force is what he calls his body. And he says, that is the fullness of him,
right,
who fills everything in every way. Jesus is the head. We, powerful, revived ones, are his body, he says. I love how he talks about this language, that we actually represent the total fullness of him in every way.
Wow.
Colossians, it says this way, you have been given fullness in Christ. He's the head over every power and authority. Colossians 2:10. The fullness of Christ is in you over every power and authority. That's what's inside of you. That's what the enemy, if he can chip away at you not recognizing who you are, not identifying, if he can beat you up in your identity, he's won, because that's step one. So it's, we know who we are, I know my assignment, and I know what my authority is. So if you take that first one away, I don't get anywhere near the end game, do I? Right? So here's the key. And I'll end with this. Everything that Jesus accomplished on the cross was accomplished for everybody. Mm-hmm. All mankind, mm-hmm, past, present, and future. Everything he accomplished on the cross, he did for all men. But without Christ, right, he's the key to that enlightenment. He's the key to that understanding. He's the one who brings the revelation of kingdom, this eternal worldview inside of you. Without him, there's no hope. There's no wisdom. There's no power. We read it. There's no inheritance. There's no blessing. There's no enlightenment, right? That's what Paul's saying, right? But in Christ, all of that is available to us. That's what Adolf was praying. There's Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Dawn. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Darla, right? When he uses the word fullness in him, that's the picture, right? And with that fullness comes power. With that fullness comes authority, right? So when we receive the Holy Spirit, that circles us back to that interaction Paul had when he ran into those disciples from Ephesus on his journey, and he said, do you have the Holy Spirit? And they went, we've never even heard there is a Holy Spirit. What? Right? So Paul circles back and says, right, when we receive this, the fullness of the Holy Spirit inside of us, then from that point, our calling is this, to operate in the fullness of Him. And what does that do when we allow the Holy Spirit to inform us? Mm-hmm. What He does is he's if faith is this activity of this kingdom worldview, this kingdom activity, walking in my, the Holy Spirit is expanding your faith, right? His one assignment is to get you to increase and you know, more and more, that this becomes like all of who you are. There is no doubt, there's no wavering, there's no confusion, right? And every day, that more and more, in fact, there's scripture that talks about moving from faith to faith, right? It's not one faith to another faith. It's an increasing faith, right? It's this this increasing thing. So what's being chiseled out or chipped away, right, is that old identity. It's that other, that we've got one foot in both kingdoms, sort of.
Yeah.
And we're extracting ourselves from this one. Mm-hmm. And as we do that, our faith is to see yourself more until eventually we're fully consumed in this other kingdom.
Right, and that's also being transformed. Your mind is being transformed, because before we were just living all earthly stuff.
Right.
Now we need to learn how to be thinking king or heavenly stuff.
Yeah!
And so, because it talks about it in, what is it, in Romans, or it says, be not conformed to this world, but
be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
So that is so important, because mm-hmm. the enemy, when he sees you, he sees what you think about yourself.
Mm.
So if you see yourself seated in heaven as a son, daughter, king, priest, that's what he's going to see. But if you see yourself otherwise, like dirty, rotten sinner, saved by grace, mm-hmm. then, you know, he's going to take advantage of you.
So I'll remind you what Paul said when he opened up this letter to the Ephesians, right? So this was written sometime after he ran into them on the road. And he talked to them about Holy Spirit, talked to them about reminding them of who they are. And in this letter to the church, he's encouraging them in that. But remember how he opened it up? He says this in chapter 1, verse 15. He says, I've heard of your faith. In other words, the stories are going out. I've heard about your faith and your love for all the people. I can't help but think that the miracles, the power that comes with believing this way, right? The testimonies of healing, the testimonies of blind eyes being opened, the testimony of demons being cast out, Paul's heard. And now he's like a father. He's like, these are my kids,
mm-hmm.
right? He's excited to like, wow, this is awesome. They're getting it, right? So in Ephesians, it's an encouraging letter. This is who you are. This is what you're called to do. Go be powerful. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So Father, we just thanks for letters like Ephesians,
mm-hmm.
where we're reminded without doubt how much you love us. We're reminded how connected we are to you. We're reminded about this incredible assignment, but just the reality that heaven is backing us up, God. So we walk away today with incredible strength, with a security in our spirit of who we are in you. So we just agree with the fullness of Christ in us today. We agree with the power released to us today. We agree with the command to go change the planet, God, to bring heaven to earth in Jesus' name. So we just say thank you, God. Thank you for who you are in us. We receive the Holy Spirit. And so we ask, Holy Spirit, come more. Fill us more. with you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.